Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Come on, give it up for Jesus. Would you do that? Come on, one more time. Give it up for Jesus. Today I want to talk about stress. Anybody familiar with stress? Raise your hand. How many of the person next to you is part of the stressful problem? Come on right now. Stress. Everybody's got it. Stressed out, overwhelmed. I want to talk today a little bit about systemic long-term stress, where it's just like, man, I don't know how much longer I can continue down this path of stress. Everybody has stress. The scripture that I want to go to, first of all, is in is Psalms, but I'm reading out of the Message. It's pretty fun. It says, "Why are you down in the dumps, old soul? Why are you down in the dumps, old dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" I added that part. "Fix your eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God." Everybody shout, "He is my God." Come on, like you had breakfast. He's my God. Why are you down in the dumps? Why? It's a choice. You choose to continue down that path of not thinking about what you're thinking about. And I want you to write that down. Think about what you're thinking about. If you've, like myself, you've been driving down the road and all of a sudden you're aggravated and you're getting mad and there's nobody in the car, it was just you. Anybody ever had that happen? You were alone with your thoughts and your mind begins to wonder. Sometimes our mind's too little to wonder by itself, right? And so we get overwhelmed with thoughts. And I think that what I'm seeing happen a lot is that a lot of our joy is stolen by comparison. We compare our life to somebody else's. Shouldn't I be married by now? I need to be married to be happy. Marriage will make me happy. Oh, yeah. We need to have kids. That's what we need. That'll make me happy. That's not going to make you happy. Oh, yeah. I can't wait till the kids move out. Now I'm empty nesters. Oh, we need grandkids. Oh, God, my kids don't know how to raise kids. I raised them. I'm screwed. Come on, somebody, you ought to help me right now. It's a continual thing that happens because we're always comparing our life to someone else. I was thinking about, you know, Jesus' brother, James. I mean, I don't know if you know it or not, but he had a brother named James. How many of y'all know that is a lot of pressure? Somebody ought to say amen to this. Jesus Christ is your brother. It's not his last name. He's getting ready to pray over the food, and mom never says, "In James' name, we pray." Come on, somebody help me. He goes to a party. They run out of wine. They come up to James. They go, "Last week, your brother was here, and he turned water into wine. What can you do? This guy can't even make Kool-Aid." Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. There is pressure being James. There's pressure in life, and sustained pressure causes nerve problems. It causes marital problems. It just causes loads and loads of problems if you don't say, "Hang on a minute, I'm going to ask myself the question, why are you down in the dumps, oh my soul? Why am I crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon you'll be praising again. He puts a smile on your face." Now, I want you to write this down. Your inner life affects your outer life. Your inner life affects your outer life. So you hold it together all day at work. People are crazy. People are mean. Take all the credit. You know it was your idea. And now you're just aggravated. So when you go home, we all know, is a place you go to stop being nice. You can let down your hair. You can just let everybody have it. So you go home, and now Chucky gets home. It's his first day of school. He realizes that he doesn't have the latest pair of tennis shoes that he needed, that everybody has the iPhone whatever, and he needs this and that and the other. And so as soon as he comes at you, you're like, "I just can't do it anymore. Do you understand that I'm a single mom, and I work my butt off, and your daddy ain't no good, and the fact is I just can't afford it. I just can't take it." And the kid's like, "Oh, man." And you wonder why your kid's over here doing the word, which is "don't worry, be happy." But not the 1 Peter 5:7 part. He's actually doing the Bob Marley part, like, "The landlord said your rent is late. You might have to let the gate. Don't Don't worry, be happy. My mama done went and lost her mind. She gripes and complains all the time. Don't worry, be happy. I'm flowing by the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, somebody else help me right now. So you're like, oh yeah. We can't. You can't allow your life to be jacked and hijacked. Because this is the only life that you have. You have to control your mind and realize that your inner life is affecting your outer life. And so you've got to think good thoughts, positive thoughts, and say, I will keep my mind stayed on him. And he meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to this right now. He is the great I am. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He is God. He said, I am whatever you need me to be. But if you're not careful, I shouldn't say careful. If you're not cautious, you'll think yourself into crazy. And you worry about stuff that's not going to happen, so much so that when you go to bed at night and you try to sleep, you can't sleep good because you got restless leg syndrome from drinking so much Diet Coke that it leached all the magnesium into your body, so you wonder what's going on. So you go to the doctors, and the doctors don't know what to do. So they say, well, we're going to medicate it instead of eradicate it, because if you drink water and less of that and you take natural magnesium, then your body needs magnesium. So if you take magnesium, your restless leg syndrome goes away. So if you got nothing else from church today, I pastor thousands of people in that. Works okay, because people tell me that's they went to a smart doctor and the doctor told them, because there's a lot of doctors that just medicate because there's a whole lot of money. You see a CVS on this corner and a Walgreens on this corner, and they're every four blocks. There's a problem, and part of it is because there's a Starbucks on every other corner. Come on, somebody, and you're drinking the Starbucks, and you come to church, and you go, I don't understand why I go crazy. That stinking red light out there is so long. I just shot a guy on the way in here. Could you pray for me? Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So God said, why are you down? Why are you singing the blues? Because you're doing what the world's doing instead of what the Word is doing. So if you're world ruled, then you'll be subject to the world's standards. But if you're Word ruled, you say, hang on a minute. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Because there's always somebody, it's going to be a person who tries to straighten you out, mess with your mojo, harsh your mellow, hashtag ruin your day. But if you can learn to respond properly instead of knee-jerk reactions, and you can think of a process, and you think about what you're thinking about, or think how you would respond to Shaquita Monday when she comes up this time. If you can think about what you're thinking about, then when people try to mess with you, it doesn't upset you. Count it all joy, James said, when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See to it that your heart is not unsettled, amplified, aggravated. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So why are you knee-jerk reaction? Why is the marriage not working good? We can settle most marriage problems in 2 seconds. Stop being stressed out. Don't go home and be mean. If you're going to be mean at the office. These are the people that are going to cry at your funeral. So when you walk in there, go, they're going to pick up my nursing home. I'm going to be nice to these people. I want to have sex with that woman. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. It's real. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You ought to put your kids in the kids department. Come on, somebody, we provide a service. I'm fixing marriages right now because I don't have time to sit down with everybody and say, stop it. Stop being mean. Be nice. Enjoy your life. Don't allow your inner life to affect your outer behavior. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. They'll put it there. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And I love this part. Thank him for what he has done. I tell you, if you want to be happy, if you want to release pressure off of your life, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and then thank God for what he has done. Lord, I remember that time, God, when I was going through divorce, and I remember living in a basement apartment over in Baldwin, and that was just me and my cat and my motorcycle on the inside of my apartment. That was all I had, and I was losing my mind. And then, God, I was praying, God, please restore my marriage. God, I was begging you. And then I was mad at you because you didn't do what I wanted to do. And I was so upset, but you knew, God, that someday I would meet Nicole and her son would be 7, which would be the perfect age to be my campus pastor. It'd be great. And I would love her. I wouldn't go back to that at all. And God, I was seeing through a glass darkly. God, I'm so embarrassed that I was like upset about it. I can't believe that I thought I was smarter than you. And I'm sure right now that I'm almost 50 and I know I don't look a day over 48, but God, I just thank you, God, that I'm going to trust you now, knowing for what you have done, maybe you're not answering this next prayer because you got something bigger in mind. You got something greater in mind, and you truly do work all things together for my good. Well, I guess that's okay. I don't know, but you don't know my problem. You don't know your promise, and I'm glad you came today so I can tell you. You're blessed, you're favored, you're anointed, you're equipped, you're qualified. God has divinely positioned you at this moment in history to do this thing. Even those people that are making you mad, maybe they're your cross, maybe that at the end of the trail, God is going to use you to help change them. Or maybe, just maybe, God's going to use them to change you. Because they're mean people. Some Goliath-sized guy last night out at our after hang, one of the biggest guys I've ever seen, Joe. He comes up to me, and we're hanging. Saturday night's one of my favorite service because I have nowhere to go afterwards, and don't ever come on Saturday night if you don't want to stay and party. And so we had a big party, then we had an after party. And so went out there, and I mean, it's my church, right? So I feel good but there's always one person. And that guy came up to me, and he said, "I am sent from God to avenge. I'm an avenger. And you are an evil man." Well, immediately, I'm not like, "Yeah, you got that right." No. So, two guys that helped me, and you wonder why sometimes, and I say it sometimes so you know, people try to abduct my daughter. Sexual predators, there's court cases right now about her. They break into our house. They followed Pastor Nicole home the other night. We got some real cray-cray people, but I still don't live. I live in a subdivision. I don't even live behind gates. I should live behind gates, but I just don't want this image. I want everybody to know that, hey, I love you, and you could just, I had a Republican knock at my door yesterday and try to get me to vote for him, and I had a Democrat knock at my door, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's you from the billboard. I know you're going to love me," and I go, "Yeah, but I'm technically a Florida resident." So they're like, "Oh, screw it." So then they left. Come on, somebody ought to help me, but I don't like living behind walls. But I am saying you can live your life in fear, or you could tell everybody, "Hey, that guy there, seriously, I think wants to kill me, so you might want to like watch him when he comes to church." But maybe yours is not that way. Maybe you don't live a public life, but you've got some people at the office that are driving you crazy. The Bible said, "Think it not strange, these trials that have come against you." Because they're actually not against you. It's the God in you. You wrestle not, Ephesians 6, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Maybe this next breakthrough, this next level, this thing that God's called you to do, that the enemy sees it, and he's trying to hold you back and keep you mad and sad and worried. And then you think, "I just can't do it. I don't know if I can do it anymore." Or you can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Come on, somebody ought to help me. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." A merry heart does good like a medicine. Ha ha. You got to laugh. Some of you low on your medicine. You got to laugh. You got to enjoy your life. Next verse. Verse 7 says, "And if you do that, if you don't worry, thank God for everything, then God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil experience will be yours. Fearing nothing from God, and be content in whatever earthly lot, whatever sort it is, that is the peace which transcends all understanding, shall mount guard around your hearts and minds." Everybody shout, "Hearts and minds." Hearts and minds. Come on, shout it again. Hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. Not only do you have to protect your mind, you have to protect your heart. Now here's what it looks like. I want to get down here, even though it's going to throw the cameras off, just to make sure you guys understand. I want to get in your face. If I don't protect my heart, I'll get to thinking, "Put me in a back room. Don't let anybody at me. People are crazy. It's dangerous out there. hide me. There's an exit here that I can come in and out. And I could get a little Pope mobile. Come on, somebody ought to help me. And I could live inside this little wall. And nothing against the Pope. Thank God for the Pope. We got a good one. So, or I could say, I'm going to live my life expressing who I am. And I'm going to love people no matter what. And if they hurt me, I'm not going to focus on the one that hurt me. And that's a lot of your problem. You're focused on the one person who doesn't like you instead of all the people who does like you. And if you're like, well, I don't know if there's a lot of people that like me. Well, we know God is a majority and he likes you. And I'm here to tell you that I like you, you, you. I scanned the room before I said this. I just double checking. But I like everybody. And I like people that don't even like me. I like the guy that wants to hurt me. I thought, oh man, I don't know where he got his information. There's a demon on this guy. And I hate it that he's living his life paralyzed by an evil spirit. But I'm not going to allow my inner life to affect my outer life and not be your pastor. I got the greatest privilege in the world. If it weren't for you guys showing up for every week, I would have a regular job. I don't know what kind of job it would be, but I'm not that educated. It wouldn't be that, it couldn't even say that right, educated. Okay. So I don't know what I would do. So me being able to pour my life into you and perhaps make your life a little bit better, thank you. It makes me so happy every week when you show up and help me do this. Come on, give God praise. I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. I'm going to tell people I love them. Verse 8, take inventory of what you're thinking about. For the rest, my brethren, think on these things. Whatever's true, whatever's lovely, reverence, honorable. If there be any virtue, I'm going to wait till they get it in. They're good guys. I'm sure they're having panic attacks right now. Give it up for those people. That's a lot of pressure. It's probably a computer. If there's anybody I don't want to make mad, it's the people that give me the scriptures. Because I know you don't know them. I didn't mean it. I knew you'd say that. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure. And lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent. In other words, you have a choice. Don't think about stupid stuff. Don't think about what you should have said. Don't think about how you're not going to take it anymore. How they don't appreciate you. And then you just blow up. Because that happens if you think about the wrong thing. So here's I'm not saying that. I'm not even going to say. I don't have it all together. But there are certain pieces of my life that I've really got together. And I don't say it to impress you, I say it to impress upon you. There are certain pieces that I really got together, and controlling my thoughts is one of them. One, I'm a pilot. So if my family's in the plane and stupid things happen, the last thing I need to do as the pilot in command is close my eyes and go, we're all going to die. No. So you got to think about it. I'm a preacher. So people have shot guns, boop, blew horns, all kinds of stupid stuff. And you could fire it right now, and I wouldn't flinch. Because I've trained myself. I've trained myself not to cuss when scared. Because my fear is that I would cuss in a sermon. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So I don't cuss in private because I'm afraid. Come on, somebody ought to go with me on that. Because have you ever been surprised what came out of your mouth? Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't, but they did. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So you control your mind. So I, at night when I go to bed, I truly go to bed. Like last night, I went to bed and I owed $10.7 million. So the church uses my credit and it's the way it happened. So the bank thinks that I owe $10.7. They don't actually know that God actually owns $10.7, but they will put me in jail, not God, because we can't actually, you can't like serve him. You can serve him, but not like serve him the paper service. But when I go to bed, I know if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So I go to bed and I'm not upset about owing money. I also, here's the key, and this will help you if you listen to me. Control your immediate world. In other words, my immediate world is controlled. I control what I eat. I control who's around me. I control who's in my house. Karen there feeds me every day, knows what I want to eat every day. I eat organic. Everything is set out for me so that I can live a healthy life. She takes care of my license plates, everything. If she ever dies, I'm screwed. okay? She's helped me and Nicole for years. So there's certain people on my staff. Chris drives me everywhere. There's a whole world around me to control it. But what I mostly control, Brian, is my mind. And I control all negative energy. So I will not allow, and I try to teach Nicole this. Yesterday she came in and she's like, your daughter, she's out of control. She's just ungrateful. I got to fly to Florida today. Take her to the Taylor Swift concert tonight. She doesn't even care. She uses my makeup brushes and won't put them back. We wear the same size shoes and she won't put them back. And she, blah, 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 blah. So to me, I know that how many of y'all know you got to handle this situation right? I said, how many of y'all know you got to handle this situation? If you want to sleep inside. So I said, hey, Nicole, you know, sometimes I talk to you about this. Control the environment. Tell her she's not going tonight and mean it. Or the Bible says the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from the heart of the child. So you could spank her. Of course, she's pretty old, so we probably wouldn't do that. Or you could just level with her. There has to be a consequence. But so she wants me to go deal with it. Why does she want me to go deal with it? Because when I go deal with it, it's dealt with. Hey, here's the deal. It ain't happening, sister. Take a speech from my dad's playbook. As long as you live in my house. As long as you eat my Hot Pockets. Come on, somebody. As long as you got on your Gucci slides. As long as you got on your Fendi. And I start listening to stuff and she knows right away. Oh, man. And I was just playing, Mom. It's no big deal. Everything's good. Now, I'm not abusive to her. I love her. But I'm not going to let a 14-year-old jack my day. You ain't going to jack up my life. You ain't going to screw my life over. I'm going to enjoy the day. And actually, you're making me mad because you're making my wife mad. If Mom ain't happy. That's good preaching right there. Tell you. Good preaching. It'll fix it all. Fix it all. Love your kids, but you don't work for them. Amen. Scaring the crap out of some of you, like, no, they'll sue me, okay? I remember Austin told me when he was 14 he was going to sue me. He became best friends with, I don't know if you ever heard of Luby's Cafe, but Luby's in Florida. So he spent the summer with his dad. He came back, and the Luby kid was spoiled out of his mind. He came back and he wanted the benefits of the Luby family and so on. And so he came back and he said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I said, no, you're not. And he goes, yes, I am. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, I knew you were going to do this. I'm going to have to sue you. Because the Luby kid had sued his parents. And I said, sue me. My attorney's number, and I gave it to him. He's on retainer. Go. So then he ran upstairs and he slammed the door. And I ran upstairs and took the door off. Because as long as you live in my house and you've been eating my Hot Pockets, you're going to obey my rules. And ain't no more door on your room. Even if you sue me, I'll win. And I'll sue you back to get my money back. Well, I know this. Daniel has incredible job security. His wife's pregnant, so he's taking notes. Oh, my wife got a baby in the oven. Last scripture, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace and constant peace, whose mind and inclination and character is stayed upon you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you. In other words, this cancer isn't going to kill you. What's worse than cancer on the brain is cancer on the mind. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him confidently in him forever. For the Lord is an everlasting rock. The Lord is an everlasting rock. In other words, you don't have to be strong for the Lord. You're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Everybody shout, I'm strong in the Lord, not for the Lord. when you do that, your life gets a lot better. So as I close, and I'm going deep on a couple of things here, and I know there's a lot of different religions and denominations represented here because we're a very diverse church. So Catholic people are sitting next to Lutheran people and Baptist people, and you can tell those Pentecostal people, when I was like doing that. So there's like a lot of people in here. But there are such things as demons and demonic activity, and there is God and angels. And maybe, just maybe, this sustained attack has been an attack from the enemy. How do you break that? There's a story in the Bible, in the Psalms, Gospels, that means they're all the same. Somebody told me the other day, like, man, I was reading Matthew and they killed Jesus, and I went to Mark and, dude, they killed him again. And then I went to Luke and they keep killing this dude. What is up with that? How many times he has to die? Okay, so these are different accounts and stories and viewpoints of the same scenario. And there was this guy who had this child that was demon-possessed. And he would throw himself in the fire. It's horrible. And then he would throw himself in the water, which is good. How many of y'all know if you throw yourself in the fire, it's good to immediately throw yourself back in the water? But Jesus comes up to him, and he casts the demon out of him. And then his disciples come to him privately, it says. They want to do it in front of everybody. And they said, hey, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said, oh, that's easy. This kind comes out not but by prayer and fasting. This combo, this right and left hook, prayer and fasting. So there are times when you need to pray and fast. And so I want to encourage you to do that. You could Google different ways of fasting. I know I've been on a fast for 14 days. I start tomorrow on a 21-day Daniel fast. I'm not saying that you have to stick with it the full 21 days, you know, like in order. You could have some blockout dates. If you're like, man, that's the first time I've ever done this, and the holidays are coming, that's fine. But just figure out how you can maybe over the next 30 days fast 21 days and eat fruits and vegetables and say, hey, I'm not going to listen to Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Like, shut off the world for a minute and put a lot of the word in you, and then the power of God comes on you. And I promise you, after 21 days, the addiction, that thing that was controlling you, it will go away. I promise you, you will hear from God with greater clarity. I promise you that your life will go better the closer you get to Jesus and his love and his power. And so your flesh has to die. This is not dieting in Jesus' name. This is abstaining from certain things for 21 days. And when you do that, it happens all the time for me. Then God will be in you and on you, and you'll be able to not worry anymore. And instead of singing the blues, you fix your mind. And just walk around and just out of your heart. I was riding my motorcycle last night and it just kept coming up in me. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come. I know the battle's won. Lord, you have never failed me. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. listen to that kind of music. Just be driving down the road. Sometimes I drive down the road, just cry. People look, think, man, that guy's messed up. I'm like, sure am. Woo! He's out of his mind. I sure am. I traded my mind and my thoughts for the mind of Christ. And I believe that Jesus is still on the throne. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question before I go. I'm going to run to Earth City and preach, and then I'm going to come back here and preach, and then I'm going to go to Earth City and preach. But as I talk to you right now, I need to know something. How many of y'all felt like today this was the exact word that you personally needed and everybody else was just listening? Raise your hand if that's you. You can put it down. God, I pray right now for this, your church. God, that you will bless your people. God, thank you for the opportunity of being their pastor and giving them the word in due season that they need. God, help them to realize that maybe over the next 21 days, they could focus and follow you. God, I thank you, God, that you're giving them the strength that they need and the power that they need, and you will bring greater clarity to them. Satan, I rebuke you over their mind, over their money, over their marriage, over their ministry. And God, I thank you that they are free, they're bold. And God, I also know as we fast and pray that we'll be drawn even more to hurting people who are struggling. We'll be able to share our faith with them and help them, because we know the word that we heard today, our friends need to hear it, and their life will be forever changed. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for Jesus today. You guys are the best, I tell you, you're amazing.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.